saying the things you wish you could. He is America's voice, Steve Gruber.
Welcome back to it. Polling seems to continue rising as far as people that believe climate change is a crisis in the world. More people believe that it should be tackled head on in a different way. More people believe that it's caused by you and I. Now, climate change is real. I mean, I sit in Michigan, surrounded by the Great Lakes, created by climate change, starting about 12,000 years ago when the Ice Age came to an end. My next guest, Quillen Robinson, is a Legislative Affairs Director for American Conservative Coalition. Quillen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Appreciate it.
So the question put forth here is how do you convince Americans that climate change is real and worth fighting?
Well, I think the problem is that the issue has been framed in the wrong way. I mean, when you have these proposals like the Green New Deal that are going to cost families $300,000+ over the course of 10 years, of course they're not going to accept the science, and that's fine. So we need to fundamentally change the conversation and frame it as an opportunity rather than just a way for the government to take over and nationalize industries.
Well, all right. So you have this organization, the American Conservation Coalition, I should say. And you tell me, how old are you? What do you believe about climate change? What do you believe man's impact is on it?
Absolutely. So I'm 24 years old. I graduated from University of Washington a couple of years ago. I believe in man-made climate change. I've seen the science, and so do my peers. And actually, two-thirds of GOP millennials support the party taking action on climate change. So I think that there's a strong case for this. And whether you know you are questioning the science or whether you are more solid on the science, I think there's a strong case to take action on this. There's a great economic opportunity in taking on climate
change. Well, hold on. Let me ask you about the science here for a second. Where am I wrong? Climate change, for me, began about 12,000 years ago at the end of the last ice age. It created things like Lake Michigan and Lake Superior, the Mississippi River and the Mississippi Delta, so therefore Cajun food by extension, if you will. Climate change, I mean, it wasn't because mastodons had too much flatulence, I'm quite convinced, but how do we square what's happening today with the fact that the ice has been melting for 12,000 years?
Absolutely. You've seen historic trends vary, and I see that. There's definitely scientists who fall on both sides of this. I think right now,
Hold on. There's no science. Lake Michigan's there. I saw it yesterday. Lake Michigan's there. I mean, it's not like a question. I mean, the glaciers melted. 10,000 years ago, this was a mile thick ice plate where I'm sitting. And it extended all the way to New York City. It extended through Chicago. Detroit was under ice, all of these things. And climate change is real, and it happened, and it melted the glaciers. And this happens cyclically. And so why is what's happening now different?
I mean, you can look at the CO2 trends in, you know, in the last 50 years or so. But I won't argue that point with you. I guess I'll go this direction. I'll say that in terms of creating economic growth, expanding our renewables portfolio, creating more American energy independence, I think that that's something that we both could get behind.
Energy independence, is that what you said?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like energy independence, except the problem is those on the side of anti-fossil fuels, anti-energy, anti-capitalism is really what it comes down to. Because I've noticed over the years, whether it was the climate extremists telling me in the 1970s there would be a ice age coming and famine would be coming by 1980 and millions of people would die every year, which we've been told. And then it was going to be a new global warming is going to raise the sea levels and drown everybody. It's always but the problem always comes back to one thing. America's too rich and too greedy. It uses too much stuff from around the world, too many natural resources. It was always capitalism's fault. Odd, isn't it?
I'm with you, Steve. It's a serious problem. And the fact that my generation is so skeptical about the system that has made our country great is a real problem. We've lifted 1 billion people up in the last 40 years because of free market capitalism and that opportunity. And so that's a serious problem that we're also trying to address. This is an opportunity for America to lead, and it's our time to do it.
And so I'm lost as to what you're trying to lead on. I'm confused here because capitalism, you're exactly right. Quillen Robinson here, Legislative Affairs Director for the American Conservation Coalition. And I'm confused because America has lifted more people out of poverty than anything. Energy independence is key. Fracking is key. Nuclear energy could be helpful. It is in France, obviously. If you're truly against global warming, you should be for nuclear. Of course, they never are. And so I don't understand what point you're making here. I haven't found your point yet.
Sure. Well, I completely agree. Fracking has been a huge boon to the United States. Liquid natural gas is 50% cleaner than coal when you burn it. Nuclear is also crucial. And I think if you're not talking about nuclear energy seriously, you're not serious about fighting climate change. But let me put it this way. So I'm talking about the next 100 years of American energy dominance. When you're looking at fossil fuels, that's a finite resource. If we're looking at the next 100 years of American energy dominance, we need to diversify that portfolio. That's a fundamental economic principle. So that's what I'm looking at here.
Well, here's the problem with that. The problem is, and let me be as polite as possible, Quillen, you're wrong. And the reason being is fossil fuels are not a finite resource. We've been told that my entire life. And yet we have more reserves today than we've ever had. We discover more reserves and more technology and more ability to create energy than at any time in human history. We have more under the Green River Formation in Colorado, 4.4 trillion recoverable barrels of oil with today's technology. There's not less energy today. There's more than there's ever been. That's the key fact, and that's where you're wrong.
Well, I'm not going to argue the point, but it is fundamentally a finite resource. And so I think that there's a good economic case behind diversifying that portfolio.
I can see that, but here's the other problem. You've got China building hundreds of coal-fired power plants today. Hundreds, not just four or five. Hundreds are under construction as they continue to ship in massive amounts of coal from two giant mines in Mongolia. Happens 24 hours a day, around the clock, shipping giant in Mack trucks, the biggest American-built trucks in history, running coal to the Chinese border 24 hours a day. So what difference does it make whether or not we burn coal when China does that and is continuing to do that in an unprecedented clip?
You're absolutely right, Steve. The United States represents 15% of global emissions. And so if we're kneecapping our economy for the sake of fighting climate change, that doesn't make sense. Let me put it this way. So if we're creating the next generation of battery storage, the next generation of solar panels, nuclear reactors and that sort of thing, and we can sell that to the rest of the world, that's a boon for our economy. That's a great opportunity.
That part I agree with. But we have to have rare earth minerals. Obviously, you know that as well. Maybe we should buy Greenland.
Absolutely.
You know, if we just bought Greenland, it would be loaded with it. Never mind. Greenland is loaded with them, by the way. You probably know that. But what is the takeaway here? Okay, so millennials believe that climate change is real. But the fact of the matter is climate change has been going on since the 8 billion years ago this planet started. So I'm confused as to what the takeaway here is. Help me.
Sure. Well, I think that when you have two-thirds of GOP millennials saying that climate change is real and that the party needs to do more, I think the party should listen. And, you know, we can find these points that we do agree on, talking about economic growth that can come from investing in renewables, talking about American leadership in this sector, and talking about the opportunity that we have here. And so it's time for Republicans to start talking about this issue so they can connect with millennials and are not left behind.
All right. Quillen Robinson, Legislative Affairs Director for the American Conservation Coalition. Quillen, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for being here. Well, you just let that settle out. By the way, if you ever can't connect with the program, go to stevegruber.com. If you're someplace where you can't get the program because you don't have a radio station or whatever, stevegruber.com. Listen live. The button's right there. Help you out. All right? It's 41 after on Columbus Day. We'll be right back.
Insurance in Michigan is a problem not yet solved. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close, and there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com. Thousands of jobs across the state of Michigan may be lost due to some recent changes in the auto insurance system. If you think Michigan's elected officials should be doing what they can to lower insurance premiums without closing businesses, learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
Today, our tour of Pioneer Soybean Development has taken us here. I'm entering one of the growth chambers at the Johnston, Iowa campus. The door is closing. This room is carefully regulated for temperature, light, humidity. I'm in a huge, long, tube-like chamber filled with soybean plants. They keep it pretty dim in here. This is just one phase of a multi-year process to bring the strongest seeds to market, such as the famed Pioneer brand A-Series soybeans. Depending on what happens in here, Pioneer breeders may advance these contenders to the next phase, or not. Most of the soybeans in this room won't make it into a Pioneer bag, but the ones that do are designed to be the best performing soybeans ever introduced by Pioneer. Growth chambers, another thing that makes Pioneer, Pioneer. You'll hear more from me later. For now, let your local Pioneer sales representative hear from you.